All right, good morning. Our small little group, everybody's still traveling. We're doing a lot of that too. We're gone and coming and going all summer long. So it's good that we have audio of this because I know everybody in the world is going online and listening to this message. Well, they should.
Especially this week.
Yeah. And I appreciate what Sue mentioned. I think it was Sue that mentioned about unity. She's behind me, so I thought, or not Sue, it was... Terry, that's who said it. And I was thinking about, we're talking about Antioch today. It's kind of like Muskegonac today. We're talking about, you know, there's all these people that have been to an event and they've heard the message is clearly given. Now they have the opportunity to understand and know who Christ is. And they make a decision. And they were like the young believers in Antioch that could be swayed away or and given misdirection, and there's some important things that need to happen to follow up on something like that. And it's hard to do because we don't know who they are, but they're people searching, so they should always be in our prayers. Just had a little fun today with your handout. You see the top of it, da 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 da. How's that go, Janine? Da da da. Da, 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 yeah. Yeah, you know the show. I figured it hit the crowd here. So, anyhow, just want the facts, ma'am. Just give me the facts. Can I be saved by grace, or do I have to do a bunch of old-time Jewish ritual stuff? And just listen to the message, and you'll be more enlightened, Mr. Friday. So, anyhow, just a little fun. Anyhow. So, this passage... is about a council, and the I got my notes. I got this one page here. It goes in the front. Sometimes you look at your notes before you get up here, and you miss, you move them around. So we got one more. Two, page one. Where's page one? Let's take a moment, pray. Ta-da! Thank you, Lord. The Jerusalem Council was the first and most significant of all church councils in history. Back in, I believe it was in 40 AD, and I'm going off memory, they had a council that met, and that council was about the Old Testament, confirming what was said, and do we have the right stuff? Another council happened about 382 AD to determine the canon, which is our Bible today. There were about 75 books actually eliminated during that council that didn't fulfill the requirements to be included into the canon. And there was some rules that decided that, like who were they written by, when were they written, things like that. That was the Third Council of Carthage in 382. But the Jerusalem Council's purpose was to settle the question, what must I do to be saved? That's what this is about. The apostles and the elders resisted imposing Jewish legalism and rituals to the Gentile believers. They were saying that you don't need to do these things. And they affirmed that salvation is by God's grace through faith alone, apart from human effort. Okay, that's what was going on here. You can imagine what was going on with the Jewish leadership at this point. They believed you must be a Jewish proselyte and then become a Christian. You have to be Jewish first. Okay, they couldn't handle the fact that the Gentiles would be on an equal basis with Jewish believers. That was just hard to understand that. Okay. This seemed unfair to the Jews since they worked so hard to keep God's laws for such a long time. You know how we get set in our ways, and I did it this way, and this is the way it needs to be, you know? The fear was that they would lose their culture, traditions, and influence. They thought the Gentiles should be part of the Jewish church. In reality, the Jewish people were coming to the Gentile church, and that's how we start this passage today. And we'll start with verse 1. And we're going to go through all the verses of this chapter. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. Let's talk about circumcision. No, let's not. You guys kind of understand what that is. Mark wanted some understanding more, but we'll talk to him later. Jews from Jerusalem came from to Antioch and started teaching that you must be circumcised to become a follower of Christ. That's what they were teaching them. Gentiles who thought they were saved through faith alone in Christ now were being told that their salvation was invalid. Okay? You can't be a Christian. You have to do this. These pharisaical men distorted the gospel and divided the church in Antioch. That's what's going on. Verse 2, and after Paul and Barnabas had a heated argument and debated with them, the brothers determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. I believe the heated argument was against with the Pharisees. It wasn't between Paul and Barnabas at this time. Not that they didn't have issues. They were discussing, okay, what they were arguing this point of the rituals. Let's see. That was verse 2. Okay. The heated debate was with them. So some trustworthy men were sent to the leaders in Jerusalem, the headquarters of the church, with the leaders whom Christ chose to start the church. It was determined whatever they decided in Jerusalem would be the true for the whole church. This would not be true if they were just sitting there and debating with the Pharisees in Antioch, because the debate would be with false teachers, not true believers, and they already had this heated argument going on. So in your notes there, and I think I might have missed the application one, I have your applications on the back of the page there. Your first application was what I talked about, and I think I might have skipped it. Let's go back to verse application one. There will always be false teachers among you who will introduce destructive and false information. I did skip that. I'm going back to that a second. Paul said, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will rise speaking perverse things to draw you away, draw the disciples away from them. The most destructive and heresies in the teaching that salvation is by human works, can lead to people going to hell. Paul said that there are those who want to distort the gospel of Christ, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what has been preached to you, he is to be accursed. And that's in Galatians 1:8. So it's the application one was about false teachers. And when we went to verse 2, now we got verse 2 application, which is on the back of your place. When controversy arises, especially about doctrine, consult with more mature believers who you can trust. I have people in my life, if I want to understand a piece of scripture and I'm confused about it, I'm going to go sit down with Mark or Tucker or somebody, and people I know that I would trust that we can handle the scripture and figure out what it means so I can apply it. Of course, we've got commentaries out there we can look at what people have written if we trust those commentaries, but mostly we just go right to God's word and we can understand what's being said. We just have to work through it, and that's part of what we do. Okay, now verses 3-5. Therefore, I think I'm back on track now, by the way. Therefore, after being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in details conversations of the Gentiles, and they were bringing great joy to all the brothers and sisters. When they arrived in Jerusalem, they were received by the church, the apostles, and the elders, and they reported all that that had gone with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had stood who had believed stood up saying, it is necessary to be circumcised, then all and to direct them to keep the law of Moses. Well, here's where we start having the problem. Now, some of the Pharisees seemed to be believers at this time. They trusted, but they were still dug in on old ways. They were not committed to put that baggage away of unnecessary laws that they grew up with. It's a new time. It's a new age. And so this council got together, and on the back of your page, there are 6 points here we're going to go through that they discussed to prove the point of salvation through faith. Verse 6 says this, the apostles and elders came together to look into the matter. They didn't just willy-nilly, okay, let's look at this, let's understand this, you know. They didn't just go off on an emotional whim. They went to take a look at this. These were learned and smart men that spent time with Jesus. They were about to make a huge decision that would affect the church for the rest of history and into eternity. This was the Holy Spirit needing to move inside this moment and lead this. So, that was verse 6. Now we go to verse 7. Okay, after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth, the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. This is the point number one. Past revelations, that's on the back of your paper too. Past revelations prove salvation is by grace. That's what Peter's talking about here. Jesus chose Peter as an instrument to start the church. When Peter brought the gospel to Cornelius and his household in chapter 10, it's interesting, that was the other chapter I talked on last. About 10 years earlier. It didn't seem like it was that long ago I talked on that. So God saved them without circumcision, law-keeping, or rituals. That's what happened in chapter 10, if you remember back. Okay? So past revelation proves salvation is by grace. Verse 8, and God who knows the heart testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. He's talking about the apostles. They received the Holy Spirit just as the Jewish believers. Therefore, the legalists had no right to require of the Gentiles what God had not. God didn't make them do that. So why would you guys do this? Okay? The matter was divinely settled. There was nothing that they could do about the Holy Spirit's the gift of the Holy Spirit proves salvation by grace. That's point two. Point three is in verse 9. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. There was no distinction. There was no Jewish. Actually, at that point, there was only two kinds of people. There still are today. There's those with a blindfold on and those without. I think we mentioned that. Somebody talked about that last week. Here's where we're at today. Verse 8, on verse 9, the distinction between us and them, cleansing the heart. That's where we're at now, right at verse 9. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Cleansing from sin proves salvation is by grace, as point number 3. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and Hebrews 10 clearly says that there is no cleansing of sin from the offering of blood animals. It is only through faith in the blood of Christ that cleanses. So, if the Gentiles were cleansed from their sin by faith, of what value would keeping the law and Jewish rituals be? That was the third point of the argument or the understanding. Then we go to verse 10. Since this is the case, why are you putting God to the test by placing upon the necks of the disciples a yoke which neither our forefathers nor we have been able to bear? Number point four there is an ability of the law to save proves salvation is by grace. There should not be a challenge to what God has already proclaimed true. You know, it's interesting that God proclaims something and that the yoke on those guys' neck is big. Why do we have to fight this all the time? God already cleared this up, and you got us arguing about this all the time. Let's just settle this. And this is what they're doing now. They're settling. That was point four. Now, we got application three right after that, which is on there. Don't put God to the test. He isn't going to act the way we want him to. And then I go back to the da-da-da-da, you know, whatever. So they're putting God to the test, and that's what the Pharisees doing. It's already been cleared. Let's not go there. God doesn't need to be tested. His way is already clear. Verse 11 says this, but we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also are. To keep the Jewish law, the Jewish law was sinful because it took away from who Christ was. They're saying this isn't who Christ is. We're going to make him up to what we want him to be. It doubted the resurrection of Christ. They didn't, okay, maybe it didn't. So it puts a doubt in these new believers' minds. It denies the grace of God, the grace that God can save. So there's a couple things there, but verse 12 gives us point number five. All the people kept silent, and they were listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating all the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. Okay? The fact of miracles proves salvation is by grace. They taught salvation by grace. By grace, God confirmed their message with miracles. In Acts 13, the Jewish leaders had none of that. There was nothing going on. The Jewish leaders couldn't provide the miracles. Only God could. So there was another point. Then we get into verse 13. After they stopped speaking, James responded, saying, brothers, listen to me. Now we'll go into what happened there in a second, but prophetic promises prove salvation is great. This is by grace. All these prophetic promises were done through all Scripture that talked about what was going to go on. How do you miss this? It's your book. You read it? How could you? That's the one thing that always bugged me. How did they miss it? It was their book, you know, and it's right there in front of you. James' judgment for which Herod actually had him put to death, and James' brother, explained this in verses 14 here. We'll start with 14. Simon had described how God first concerned himself about taking a people for his name from among the Gentiles. Okay? What God began through Peter, he was carrying out through Paul and Barnabas. Now, they're going to go on and preach what's going on here. This showed continuity and unity between Peter's offer of the gospel to the Gentiles and Paul's mission of the Gentiles. Both were initiated by God. They weren't initiated by them. We know what happened to Peter. We know what happened to Paul. They weren't heading that direction. God got their attention. He gets our attention that same way. Verse 15, the word of the prophets agreed with this, just as it is written. The word of the prophets agreed with what Peter presented, and the news Paul and Barnabas was spreading among the Gentiles. Okay? The prophets, all those in attendance, were in agreement with what was going on. Now we get into verses 16 through 18, which is actually Old Testament prophecy, and says this, after these things I will return and I will rebuild the fallen tabernacle of David. Did that happen? Yes. And I will rebuild its ruins. Did it happen? Yes. And I will restore it. It happened. So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Didn't say just the Jewish people. It said that the rest of mankind and all the Gentiles who are calling me by name. Oh, it even mentions that. Says the Lord who makes these things known from long ago. This was talked about way before any of this council began. And they went back to that. So they understood that prophetic promises prove salvation is by grace. Okay? So, we're moving along. And therefore, it is my judgment. So they had the council. They had the meeting, okay? and to come to some conclusion, like Janine's laboratory did, you know, like come to some conclusion that they're doing it right and or they're doing it wrong and they're going to get it straight. But they come up with a judgment that we do not cause trouble for those from the Gentiles who are turning to God. It's like all those people at Unity. They learn this. Now, who's going to distort them from what they heard? There's going to be the evil ones that's going to be out there. And these people, Paul and Barnabas especially, were out there to remind them who Christ was so they didn't forget what happened. So I kind of think about who's going to be the Paul and Barnabas amongst the people of Unity and the Muskegonak, you know. So we got to look at that. They had evidence for salvation by grace presented during the speeches. It was conclusive. As head of the Jerusalem church, gave his judgment that keeping the law and the Jewish rituals were not required for salvation. Hammer goes down, okay? Application number 3 on the back of your page. This was the judgment, but it wasn't the true judge. It wasn't just a judgment. They were simply recognizing the fact God's plan was not altered. We know his plan and should stay true to his word. They had this discussion, but it was already over before the council even began. It was concluded, and God... But was it good for men to get together and talk and discuss it? I think it was. I think it's healthy for us to discuss texts and discuss God's word so we may know it better. And God gives us the freedom to talk and go amongst people and have these conversations. And I think that's what was happening here. Okay. Verses 20 and 21. But that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols, from acts of sexual immorality, from what has been strangled, and from blood. For what ancient generations Moses had those who preached him in every city, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. These guys were hearing this stuff every Sabbath about the Old Testament ways, and now they're telling them, we got to go talk to these people and let them know that they don't have to do this stuff. Stay away from these things. Stay away from this sin. And so food offerings to idols could be a stumbling block. That was kind of one of the things that was in there. It's much like drinking alcohol in front of an alcoholic. Food itself is, it creates a stumbling block for people. And that's what was happening. They were trying to get these stumbling blocks out of the way of those Gentiles in Antioch and those cities around. And... also, the the fornication, sexual sin that was taking place, or even the food itself that was bad because of the blood in itself inside of it. Dietary laws of blood contaminated the meat. There's a lot of things going on in those days and those times, in those verses. But now we get to verse 22. Then it seems good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, who was called Barnabas, Silas, leading men among the brothers. So they're going to take this letter, and they sent their best guys, Paul, Barnabas, Judas, and Silas. So then we get to verses 23 through 30. Now, this is kind of so they send the letter. Okay, the letter's going with them. It's not through the post office. They didn't email them or text them. So not a lot of people were knowing in between what was going on, other than where they stopped and preached and told the stories about what happened to the Gentiles. Apostles and the brothers who are elders to the brothers and the sisters in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, who are from the Gentiles, greetings. That's the letter, starting letter, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number to whom we gave no instruction have confused you by their teaching, upsetting your souls. So I'm confused now. What am I doing? So, that happens. People tell you part of the truth, and they try to steer you whatever way they want, and that's what was happening. It seems good to us, having come of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will also report the same things by word of mouth. They were going to talk to them, saying, they're going to be in person here. They're going to tell you what's going to happen. They're coming. Here's the letter. They're coming. For it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no great burden than these essentials, that you must abstain from things sacrificed to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from the acts of sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves free from such things, you will do well. Then they end the letter. Farewell. So when they were sent away, they went down to Antioch, and after gathering the congregation together, they delivered this letter. Okay, so all the people are there. They're delivering the letter, and then we get into the results of what happened here. When they had read it, verse 31, they had read it, they rejoiced because of the encouragement. Celebration, the good news, lifted much of the worry off their shoulders. It's like you have a story and maybe you have an illness or something's going wrong, and all of a sudden the doctor says, hey, you're cured from that. It's that kind of story. It's taking that understanding of what you're fearful of and taking away. These people were so concerned. We don't know if we're saved or not. Are we going to hell? What's happening with us? And these guys are clearing up and go, oh, thank you. We needed to know that. And that's what's happening here. Verse 32, Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brothers and sisters with a lengthy message, kind of like you got this morning. So, okay. Judas and Silas, much like us, need encouragement from others and our words. You know, having that time, that coffee shop time with somebody, encouraging somebody, and don't just, hey, you're doing all right, you'll be okay. Have that lengthy conversation, sit down with people, encourage them in their walk and their faith and the struggles they have. And I think that's what we're to do. After they have spent time there, they were sent away from the brothers and sisters in peace to those who had sent them out. They went back to where they came from, basically. They sent them out in peace and security and salvation, peace of mind. They had confidence now because of the stories. Hey, this is what's happening. Have confidence in who you are. You are saved through Jesus Christ. And so they sent them away with that kind of peace. Verse 34, but it seems good to Silas to remain there. By the way, verse 34 is interesting to me. Some Bibles doesn't even have that verse. They go from 33 to 35. I don't know if you look at your Bibles, you might see that. Or they'll put it in there, but it seems good to Silas to remain there. They left the guy behind. They weren't going to just leave him all alone and say, good luck now, we're leaving you. So they left somebody that would have good wisdom behind. Verse 35, but Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. They finished the ministry they started and left for Jerusalem when they had completed the mission. So they didn't stop till the mission was done. The church survived its great challenge. This was the challenge of the church that happened. They established the doctrine of salvation by grace. Stamp. Kind of like Janine's lab. They stamp, okay, you're good. Okay. They were able to keep false teachers from perverting the church. Okay, you guys are done. That's wrong. Go away. Keeping the splitting of the church from happening. And they gave them the understanding that you don't have to do all these old rituals. You don't have to practice those to understand who God is. So, this is a long chapter too. We get to the next one, which is actually going to be talked about probably next week a little bit more, but I'm just going to mention it here, and I'll read it because it's in here. After some days, Paul said to Silas, let's return and visit the brothers and sisters in the city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. They're going to check it back in with them. They're not letting them go. Barnabas wanted to take John and called Mark along with them also, but Paul also of the opinion that they should not take along with them a man who had deserted them in Philadelphia, I guess, and had not gone with them to work. Now it turned into such a sharp disagreement, they separated from one another by Barnabas. And Barnabas took Mark with them and sailed away to Cyprus, while Paul chose Silas, and they left, being trusted to the brothers, grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the church. I kind of picture this agreement, because I don't think they got into a fist fight, but that would have been cool, two apostles fighting. You know, what's that look like? It's probably like when I used to work for the mafia in Detroit, you know, back in the day. You guys don't know that story, but they had the round table that came into the golf course where I was at. And they'd go in there and they'd yell and they'd scream at each other for like an hour. And they'd throw gestures at each other like this, no, you know, and they get really mad and yell and scream, and all of a sudden it was towards the end of the meeting, and then they kiss each other on the cheek and say, hey, have a good day. You know, I think it was like that kind of argument. You can have an argument, but come to a conclusion. And these guys probably came to some conclusions here. So, with that being said, we have, that was the second, they're heading on the second journey, missionary journey, that's Paul and them. But on your paper now, we have on the bottom the so what's, right? Of course, I don't have that one. Let me borrow yours, Mark. Plus, I can look at your notes and see what you said. So what? Here we go, back to Friday, okay? If you want to follow Christ, So what you're saying, ma'am, is this, you know, Friday. If I want to follow Christ, I need to trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior and ask him into my heart. Is that right, ma'am? Okay. Two, if I follow and mature in Christ, I need to get to know him by reading scripture inspired by God. Do I have that right, ma'am? All right. If I don't understand something that I read or hear in God's word, I should find good qualified counsel to help me. Ma'am, where do you find these people? Where do they exist at? Well, Friday, they exist in the Bible itself, in commentaries, in some churches, but mostly you can find them in coffee shops. I believe that's true. Friday, there are people out there in the world that want to distract you and persuade you the wrong way. Be aware and filter anything said through the word of the Lord. I understand, ma'am. Thanks, ma'am, for answering these questions. I'm so very excited, as you can see in my face. So, anyhow. Thanks for working through that with me, because it was an interesting little passage to look at. And it really is about the church and where we begin and where we're at today. And there's a lot of church out there that practices rituals over just the grace God gives us. Doesn't mean that we're not to be without some understanding and some direction in life through Scripture, but it's not the rituals that save us. It's God's grace that saves us. So let's pray. Father, only by your grace can we enter into the heaven. And we can only open our eyes to that. So that's the only thing that keeps us directed in the right way. We're going to be distracted. Many around us are going to be distracted. May as we grow as believers, be filled with wisdom of the Holy Spirit to answer, talk, and discuss about the issues of life in front of us and in others. May we help those that don't understand. May we help them to understand Who's the one hoodwinking them? It's Satan himself, the devil. And we do not need to step back on our heels and be soft-spoken about that. And may we be bold in our conversations. May we direct them, because there's only two people in this world, those with blindfolds on and those without. And our mission is to help those with blindfolds to take them off, but also to help them grow in understanding as well. We thank you for this time we get to meet as this group of people. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.